are joined. We're giving a workout to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas the last couple of weeks. I promise we'll slow down, but this is your time, young lady.
This is my time because you guys are going to hear from me all baseball season because I'm going on vacation.
You don't do baseball, do you, or very much of it?
Not really. I enjoy going to games. I enjoy watching baseball, but I'm just not big into handicapping it. Plus, I think that by, you know, April, I'm just burnt out. August, April is busy season for me, so time for a few days off, right?
Well, the other thing is, it's one thing with football because there's a point spread, you know, and basketball is easy with a point spread. It's a little different with baseball.
Baseball's hard, and, you know, you have to handicap pitchers and, you know, injury reports, and then you're, you know, laying minus 150, and then, you know, you lose because the closer gives up two runs in the bottom of the ninth, and you're like, why did I do this to myself?
Yeah. Now, what did you well, first of all, your thoughts on the weekend games for the Final Four?
Well, the Duke game kind of worked out like I thought it was going to. I took Duke first half. I was really impressed how they kind of started off slow, came back, covered no problem. I was looking at taking Michigan State second half based on some of their trends. And so a couple buddies and I were talking about it, and needless to say, I'm really glad that we didn't because it would have been really bad. I mean,
yeah.
Coach K just didn't care. There you go. Beat down 20 points, Michigan State's worst beat down in the Final Four ever. And, you know, it was good for the Duke backers, which a lot of people I knew were on Duke, and same with Wisconsin. Honestly, I'm still frustrated. I shouldn't be because you gotta move on to the next game. But with the way that game went down in the second half, there was a couple bad calls, obviously, on both sides. I thought the refs called the entire game horribly, but more so, there was a couple of bad calls, shot clock violations, things like that I thought changed like the whole dynamic of the game. So it was really frustrating as a Kentucky backer to see them up four, you know, with 2 minutes left. They didn't review the shot clock. Next thing you know, Wisconsin goes on a 14-3 run, and I might as well light my ticket on fire.
Well, now, what did it close at? What was the spread when you bet on it? Because you waited late.
It closed at 4.5.
Okay.
So it opened at 6.5, and money pushed it all the way down. And we've talked about it before, but typically, you guys know that I'm a big dog bettor. I like to try to find, you know, dogs that have a chance to win outright, and that was Wisconsin for sure. But I hate when the public tries to back those teams. It's like almost the kiss of death. And I mean, you guys know I do a lot of stuff on social media.
Yep.
Twitter, Facebook, I even put this on my Facebook, and then I got eaten alive for it after the game. And I was like, I love how much every single one of you loves Wisconsin today. And I don't know if it was like a hate fandom sort of thing or if it was they just wanted to see Kentucky not go undefeated, but I mean, everybody loved Wisconsin, and guess what? They were right. They got the money.
Well, what about tonight, though? Do you? I mean, I actually thought it would be almost. It is almost a pick 'em. It's one. Basically. Is it still Wisconsin one by one?
It's Wisconsin minus one. We're seeing some Wisconsin minus one, minus 115 floating around. But more than anything, it's basically still a pick 'em. I mean, you could bet the money line and you're basically picking the winner. And we never see that in a national championship game. I would have to ask to see when the last time that actually happened, but it's very rare that you see a dead even game. And rightfully so. I mean, both these teams are evenly matched. Both teams have great offenses. One thing that I was hoping to see Kentucky do, and I think their biggest problem was they didn't defend the three against Wisconsin, but one of the things I was hoping they were going to do was kind of expose Wisconsin's mediocre defense. And by mediocre, I mean in comparison to their offense.
Yep.
Their defense is still great, but in comparison to their offense, their defense is okay. And they just didn't do it. So I'm so back and forth on this game. Actually, my buddy that's helping me remodel some of the parts of my house is here, and he's like, who do you like today? And I go, honestly, this game screams stay off.
Every You're not going to lay off the national championship
you know
game.
No, I'm not going to.
Of course not.
I'm clearly a degenerate. But I'm telling you what logic is telling me is stay off this game. Because I feel like if I was to back Wisconsin with everybody else, you know, we're going to see a similar result to December. Now, given Wisconsin is a much better team than they were playing in December, as we saw. They lost to Duke. And then in early January with some injuries, they lost to Rutgers. But Coach K is not good against one seed in the tournament. That being said, he's also 5-0 against the number this year in the tournament. I mean, there's so many factors I'm sitting here looking at, and I literally am undecided on this game. I wish I had a nice winner for everybody, but
Kelly,
I know I'm going to bet the game.
You're getting a point in Duke. How do you pass that up?
That That's what I mean. It almost seems too easy, though, especially after how bad they beat Michigan State.
Consider this factor. We're talking to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. That game, and people talked about it, and you could see it afterward. Wisconsin, in their minds, won the national championship on Saturday. I think there's going to be a hangover from that.
I hope so, because I don't think I can back Wisconsin here, so if I do play it, I'm going to be on Duke. But like I said, I feel like if I take Duke, and I'm a contrarian, against Bo Ryan for the third week in a row, because I was on Kentucky and I was on Arizona, I'm sitting there going, am I really going to let Bo Ryan do this to me again? I mean, it started with Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
I was on Michigan State. I was getting 7 points. Looked good. Goes into overtime, and I'm like, ah, I'm okay. I'm still getting seven. Seven in overtime is a lot of points.
Yeah.
You know? And that Wisconsin D, I was just saying, was mediocre, held Michigan State to 0 points in overtime. So, you know, these are things that are, you know, you try to think of each game as an individual entity and not let the past effect on how you're going to bet. But sometimes when a team beats you enough, you kind of have to give them a little bit more respect and say, hey, maybe I'm a little biased or something, but I mean, you're right. I'm looking at Duke in plus one, and I'm thinking, of course, everybody loves Wisconsin because they just beat Kentucky.
That's why I wouldn't love Wisconsin. And everybody, I mean, you look at all the game factors. I'm looking at the psyches of these Wisconsin kids. They will take into the season, even if they lose, knowing they knocked off the undefeated team. Maybe they'll get again, it's a national championship game. You better be ready for it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bo Ryan gave the Herb Brooks speech if as he did after beating the Russians. They still had to play the gold medal game. He said, you'll take it to your effing graves if you lose.
There you go.
Now, Bo may tell him that, but this is a pretty good team. It was different, obviously, then. But, well, Kelly, at Kelly in Vegas, I know you'll make the right decision. You always do.
Oh, yeah, just like I did on the Super Bowl and the college football national championship game, right?
We won't talk about it. You know what? When you go up there, whoever you decide you're going to do, that very last second, switch. That's how you have to do it.
Great idea.
Do the negative indicator. Kelly, great talking to you, and we obviously will still be in touch with you. I don't care if you don't like baseball or not. We'll
there
be in touch.
You know, I love it.
All right, Kelly, take care. Kelly, at Kelly in Vegas. And now, we are going to take a quick break. You need this number, because we're going to take the first four callers, and we're going to give away tickets to the Twins home opener next Monday. Never mind they lost 4-0. It's the home opener. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. That is the number to call. As soon as we hit the break, we'll start taking your calls. First four, we have a contest. It is a fun, easy contest, and we could have up to four people do it. If we get four, we'll go for it. Whatever we get, we'll go with. You're going to love this contest, especially if you know the Twins. Hint. We'll be right back. We are back. Now, we have a few people on the line here, but the things lit up before I even stopped. So here's the number. We got a line open if you want to take part. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. These are for Twins tickets. These are for Twins season opener tickets against Kansas City on Monday. So if you want to take, there you go. Come on in. We could take a couple of you. And here is what it's going to be. Not a game show per se. It's a little different than that, but it's a contest that will be fun. And I'm sure if you're a Twins fan, you all will be able to listen to it. We are ready. Here's what it is. It is going to be a spelling bee. You spell the last names. We got four people on the line. Spell the last names. And we'll start off with Twins. We may go to other teams, but we'll make it easy. Who's on line one?
It should be Mike from New Richmond.
Mike, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Mike, you can spell Twins players, right?
I hope so.
All right, Mike, we're going to start off easy for you. We're going to start off with Dan Gladden. Not the first name, just the last name. Spell Gladden. We're making that first round a gimme.
G-L-A-D-D-E-N.
Mike, you're going to move on to round two. Who's on line two?
I'm trying to find it. Katie. Katie from Orono.
Katie, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Katie, you have
I'm a terrible speller even without Twins, but we'll see how we do.
Okay, Katie, we're good. Like I said, the first round's going to be a snap.
All right.
Randy Bush. How do you spell Bush?
Oh, well, this is a tricky one because there's two ways. I'm going to go with B-U-S-H.
You're going to the second round, Katie.
Fantastic.
All right. Line three is
John from Hastings.
John, how are you?
Good.
John, you know what it is? We're doing right now. We're throwing you some Twins names, easy ones. You get one. You better be able to spell this one. You don't deserve to go to the game. Kirby Puckett. How do you spell Puckett?
P-U-C-K-E-T-T.
You're moving on, too. Isn't this easy? Wait till the second round. Thanks. All right. We go to line four.
Ron from Lakeville.
Ron, how the heck are you?
Mr. Sansevier, I'm always well.
I am so glad to hear. Okay, here is an easy one for you. Because everyone else had an easy one. You're going to get an easy one, too. Don Baylor.
B-A-Y-L-O-R.
Now, isn't that easy and fun?
Hey.
All right, hold on. We're going to come back around. Mike, how are you?
Good.
All right, those were gimmies earlier on. Now, we'll go with another twin for you. Steve Lombardozzi. Spell Lombardozzi. Go ahead.
L-U-M-B-A-R-D-O-Z-Y.
Mike, I'm sorry. Ah. But hold on, because if everyone gets them wrong, you're going to go to a tiebreaker. It's it's L-O-M-B-A-R-D-O-Z-Z-I. All right. We now go
back to Katie.
Katie, back to Katie. Katie, are you ready?
I am.
Bert Blylevin.
Oh, okay. B-L-Y-L-E-V-E-N.
Well, Katie, you're moving along. Mike, I'm sorry, but Katie right now, she may not hold it, but we'll see where it winds up. Now we go line three is
John.
John from Hastings. John, you ready?
Yep.
Juan Berenguer. Spell Berenguer. Come on, it's easy.
B-U-E-R-G-E-R?
Not quite. B-E-R-E-N-G-U-E-R.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you. Now we go to Ron in Lakeville. Ron?
I am ready.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Tom Brunansky. Spell Brunansky.
B-I-U.
Yep.
N-A-S.
Yep.
K-I.
You said N-A-S-K-I?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ron. It was B-R-U-N-A-N-S-K-Y. I thought everyone would get those. That, by the way, every name I gave you was a member of the 1987 first World Series team for the Twins. I actually thought that I was going to try to hit somebody. Well, let's go back to Katie. Katie.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. You win the Twins tickets. I thought
Thank
we'd get through
you.
Two or three
Woo-hoo.
Rounds, and you were saying you can't spell. Now, Katie, this is because you've already won them, but this is just for fun.
Okay.
Spell Kent Herbeck. Spell Herbeck.
H-R-E-B-E-K.
Well, if I gave you that one earlier, you would have been out. No, it's H-R-B-E-K. Let's give you another one from that. We'll stay with that same team, all right?
All right.
Tim Laudner. He was the catcher.
L-A-U-D-N-E-R.
That's pretty good. Gary Gaetti.
Ooh, G-A-I.
G-A-E. All right, you got the first three. Finish it. G-A-E from there.
T-T-I.
You're good. See, honestly, I got Hellboy here. David Helmer's our producer. I honestly thought we'd get through the tough names in 87. Then I was going to move to the 91 roster. And
well,
I think,
who would have been next?
Well, let me give you the Chuck Knobloch.
K-N-O-B-L-O-C-H, is it?
Did you say O? Because you're not sure. O, because that's how you're spelling it. No, it was L-A-U-C-H.
L-A-U-C-H.
And I knew, unless we had an Italian, you most would struggle with Mike Pagliarulo.
Oh, couldn't you give me a Viola? Come on.
You already won. What are you complaining about? Spell Viola for me.
V-I-O-L-A.
See, this one would have been fun because we had Pagliarulo, which is, give it a shot at that one, Katie.
Okay. P-A-G-L-I-O-R-U-L-L-O?
No, it was P-A-G-L-I-A-R-U-L-L-O. Hello. There are people in their cars slamming their steering wheel because they're saying, I could have gotten all of these. Well, you should have called quicker. But that team, by the way, Rick Aguilera, Steve Bedrosian. I mean, people would struggle with, I mean, obviously you got Jack Morris. That's a snap. Denny Nagel should have been easy. But we didn't even go to him. I was saving for if we were in the 10th or 12th round, Rick Stelmazek from the coaches and Wayne Terwilliger. I mean, those would have been tough for people because that some people aren't sure if it's two L's or one. But anyway, Katie, you now who are you taking with you?
Who am I taking with me? I think it might have to be my husband.
Well, good choice.
Mm-hmm.
For you, that you'll have a lot of fun. You've been to Twins games before, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Katie, have a great time at the Twins game. Don't go anywhere because we're going to get your information. And you and your husband will have a great time at the Twins game next Monday night against Kansas City. By then, let's hope they're not over. They'll be fine. And for the other guys, let's hey, before we have anything from last week left over we can give away, or is everything done? Because we'll, if we do, we'll give something to them. I know we did have some comedy show tickets. If we do, we'll spread them out if we have them. Nothing? Okay, they were given away already. The other guys, though, they're all still on, right?
Yeah, they're just chilling.
Oh, put them on. Let's see how far they can go here. Now, this is
Mike,
I'm sorry you didn't win, but give me a Rick Aguilera. I know if you had him, you'd spell it right, right? Rick Aguilera?
Boy. A-G-U-L-E-R-R-A?
No, you were close. A-G-U-I-L-E-R-A. That was pretty close. Oh, but okay. Let me ask you this, because I love this game. We should do this more often. This is a pretty fun thing. Maybe not for you, but I mean, it's fun. You know, because I would say, you know, we can do Vikings. We can do anything. If this thing got into, like, the 25th round, I was pulling out Carl Yastrzemski, because people struggle with that one. But that would have been another team. There's a lot of tough.
That one's easy, though.
Well, so many people are familiar with it. Go ahead.
Y-A-Z. Done.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. But like I said, Mike, like I had said to Katie, I was looking forward to throwing Pagliarulo out there and Rick Stelmazik. You know, there's some that 91 team did have some like Bedrosian. There were some names that aren't the easiest to spell.
Yeah, and we made it a whopping three rounds, so.
Well, I think you made it two, Mike.
Oh, did we make it two?
You made it two. Katie made it to Katie won in the second round. But you know what? It was fun, though. I appreciate you, taking part and sticking with us. And let me ask you, while I have you on the phone, where are you going tonight? Who are you picking? This is not a spelling bee, unless you want to spell Duke or Wisconsin. Who are you picking tonight?
Being from Wisconsin, I'm going to pick Wisconsin.
That's a given. Did you, I don't know if you were listening when we first started the show, I talked to a friend whose father-in-law, huge Gopher fan. You know, the rivalry, it's an intense rivalry with the Gophers in Wisconsin. He goes back decades, and he was asked if he would pull for Wisconsin because, you know, it's next state over, and the fact that we're talking about a Wisconsin team that won the Big Ten, you know, Big Ten with the Gophers. His comment to his daughter-in-law was, if Wisconsin was playing the Nazis, he'd have to root for the Nazis. Because does your hatred for Minnesota sports run deep, or do you not care?
Mine does not. No, I really like Wisconsin college teams, but I'm still a Twins, huge Twins fan. I do like Minnesota Gopher hockey, so I mean, I'm not biased across the board. So
now, I'm curious about this. Do you follow the women's Gopher team, Gophers hockey team too?
You know, a little bit.
They won't let you down.
What's that?
They won't let you down the way the men's team does.
No, not at all. Not at all. I do notice that they sure win a lot.
Absolutely, they do. Three national championships in the last four seasons, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Man, it's a very impressive bunch. Well, Mike, we really appreciate you taking part, and we'll do more game shows of varying types. But I'm really into it. I like the spelling bee thing.
Yeah, it's really good.
Because it's a fun way to do it, and it's and I think we gave the first round, no one got anything too hard, and the second round we amped it up a little bit. I should have kept it easy through a few rounds, but there are some tough spellings there, no question about it. Mike, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, all right, Hotshot, I got one for you. You can spell Twins' names, right?
Oh, you want me to spell that?
Or just do Denny Nagel. Well, you know sports, though.
N-E-A-G-L-E.
Look at me, so damn cocky. All right, how about Scott Leis?
L-E-I-U-S.
Mm-hmm. Not bad, not bad. Let's see, and this is all from the, spell Bedrosian.
Pass. No, that's just B-E-D-R-O-S-I-A-N.
Are you looking at something?
Yeah, your face.
That's what I figured. All right, let's go, because you're so good, let's go to coaches. Rick Stelmazik.
Pass.
You don't know that one.
Wayne
Terwilliger. Another coach at the 91 team.
There's two L's. Right.
Okay, well, yeah, there are, but go ahead.
T-E-R,
yeah.
Williger. with two L's and two G's.
Well, how do you spell Williger, wise guy?
W-I-L-L, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's Will.
Yeah.
And then I-G-G-E-R.
No, one G.
Why not?
You broke it down.
Well, that's Terwilliger, or Will.
Terwilliger.
Will Liger.
You know where I got this this idea from? We went to a restaurant, a bar. It's a bar and bowling alley, and they were having a straight out spelling bee for regular words. And I'm thinking, it's a great idea. We could do that with sports names. So we are going to do this.
Just having a spelling bee at a bowling
just
alley?
Just the spelling. No, is that the bar part of it?
Okay.
They were just having a spelling bee.
I was going to say, you know, there's bowling there.
Okay, but here's the incredible thing. This, I mean, if you drink, you got to look for these. $7 to sign up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time, and you got a free, and these were big glasses, a free beer just for signing up. Every word you spelled right, you got another free beer. If you go into the ninth or tenth round, my God, first of all, I have to scrape you off the floor with a spatula. But you easily get your, and you get it twice and you got your money back.
I think if you got that far, you'd start spelling things wrong just because you'd be slurring letters.
That is that. I don't know if the rule said you had to drink them between after each one. I mean, I don't drink, so I would have been, I didn't stay for it. We didn't stay, but it gave me the idea. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll do a little D-bag of the day. And I think there might be a Kentucky player or two who make the cut on that one. We'll be right back.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner, the Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. D-bag, D-bop, bop.
You know what? You've been playing good music. I'll give you that. In some cases. Many cases. You know what was on all weekend on, like, I think it was HBO? And I could watch that, and it's segments of it, and I always seem to catch the very end, which is a phenomenal, I hate to say this, but dance number at the end. Have you ever seen Jersey Boys, the movie?
No.
It's phenomenal. That kid, the guy, he actually was in the original Jersey Boys on the stage play. I could not tell him or Frankie Valli apart. He is incredible how he, you know, he can replicate Frankie Valli's voice. Frankie Valli is, I mean, how many guys do you hear that can sing in a falsetto?
Not that many. Not that
you
many.
Might be able to. But anyway.
Put a lot of strain
tomorrow,
on
or if you
cords.
Could do little Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, maybe, because it's unbelievable. You know the whole Sherry thing. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I kept catching because it was on HBO East Coast feed, HBO West Coast feed. It was phenomenal. We are going to have actually a little twist on D-bag of the day. I'm going to, and we'll answer this. Andrew Harrison, right after the game. Well. Right after the game, he and other teammates, we're going to separate these two, though. We'll start with this one. He and some other teammates, including Cauley Stein, you know, the big player for them, their big guy, they walked off the court. They did not stay to shake hands with the Wisconsin players who knocked them off. They'd been undefeated, Kentucky. We all know that story. So the question I have is, in that case, D-bag or dumbass? 651-989-9105 if you want to join in. 651-989-9105. Walking off the court and not shaking hands, are you more of a D-bag or more of a dumbass for the way you handled the loss?
I think it's pronounced Dumas.
Dumas? Are you more of a Dumas?
Yeah.
Or a D-bog? I'm going with D-bag. I think you're more of a D-bag for the way you behave.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you're supposed to be getting taught
sportsmanship
your whole life, and you're still a young kid.
See, I brought you over to my side. Earlier, you weren't.
Well, no,
you're
I was just
excuses.
Saying they didn't know how to react. That's me explaining what they did. I'm not defending it.
There's no excuse for it. You know, because you saw 38 teams that you had beaten had to come over and shake your hand. You think they wanted to? Many of them were thrashed, but they did it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you see, we had it a couple weeks ago, that dude from the SEC school that found out one of his players was talking trash.
Yep.
And went up to him and said, "Who did that?" Found him and scolded him right there on the court.
Yeah. Well, let's go to line one there.
I'm trying to figure this out.
Sorry.
Brian from Minneapolis.
Brian, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
Now, you heard the question, right?
Yep.
What do you think, D-bag or dumbass? Hellboy and I are both going with D-bag on that move.
Kind of like a D-dumbass, I'd say a combination.
A combo? Well, you go with a combo platter on that one.
Did you see all the pregame stuff about the touchy-feely things that Duke is supposed to be a part of the community, and they show him in visiting children in the hospital and stuff like that, all that nicey-nice stuff, and then...
Well, every school does that, don't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're making this big special deal about how, you know, the Duke players are so involved in the community, and then, you know, to have this happen when they lose one game.
Oh, you're talking about Kentucky?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, for Kentucky, yep, okay. All right.
You're right, Bob, sorry. But, you know, they lose one game. They should be in the Gophers jerseys for a while. They get used to that. But I was just looking at that and just amazed at, you know, how poor the sportsmanship was on that end. I've had my sons almost in near drag-out brawls in soccer games and stuff, and then, you know, it's all good. It's just a game. You know, they shake hands at the end, even if they like or don't like the other kids. But, you know, it's just sportsmanship.
Well, and you know what? It does. It starts at the top, though. Calipari has to take accountability for that. Because these kids, I mean, he is their coach, and I think that he should have been telling them all. They didn't lose. They had a great season. They still had a great season, even though it ended in the national semifinals. And they had assistant coaches running after those players to tell them, you know, to get back on the floor. But they didn't care. They lost. They didn't care how it would be seen. They, you know, they were hurting. But every kid that loses a game hurts. But they all go through the lineup. Against Kentucky, they all shook hands when Kentucky, you know, knocked them on their ass. So I that one's not very good. Now let me stick with us here because I want to give you my other scenario. The Andrew Harrison one, when he during the news conference, Frank Kaminsky's name came up. He didn't realize because I guess he was leaning back. He used an expletive.
Yes.
Expletive that N-word, and it was a powerful expletive. There starts with the letter F. To do that, now some people are saying, well, he was just it was a kid. Some people are saying that it was racist. I mean, some people have strong feelings about it. Others are trying to excuse it. And I'll ask you, D-bag, dumbass, or you went with the hybrid before, or both?
I have to do the hybrid again. It's a combo platter. You got to be kind of a D-bag and a dumbass to say something like that on national TV.
Well, and he didn't realize, but even if he didn't realize it, he did to his credit. He apologized to Kaminsky, you know, called him, and he tweeted that he apologized. Kaminsky said he's moved on from it, and he knows him. He's a good kid. And that one first of all, it doesn't make sense why he would be that angry. He had a cooling off period. He still was so angry, and I guess it just frustrated the heck out of him that he, you know, that they lost to Wisconsin, and that Kaminsky had such a strong game against him. But again, you got to have some class there, and it's not like it's the heat of the moment. That moment had passed. I mean, they came out at least 20 minutes or more after the game was over because they gave him like I think it might be a 15-minute cooling off period. So there was plenty of time, and he got to the locker room early because he left right from the floor and never shook hands.
So, can I give you an honorary dumbass?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
The network for putting Rex Chapman on the game. I am not a Wisconsin fan. I don't, you know, I mean, I only wanted them to win because I have them in the finals, but, I am not Wisconsin at all, but this guy was so homer. It was just, like a rah-rah session for Kentucky every time down the court. It was just terrible. And I mean, even my sons are pointing it out and they never point out stuff like that, but are we listening to the Kentucky feed on the network?
It runs through their blood. So you have to keep that in mind. And you got, what the heck's her name? The woman, Ashley Judd. I kept looking at the end of the game. Now, if they showed her, I didn't see it. Because she probably had to be all weepy. She goes to all their games. And certainly when the NCAA tournament, she usually gets a lot of FaceTime.
Well, this guy was doing the color commentary
on
the
TV. No, I know that, but I'm just saying Ashley Judd usually is, they always show her. They showed this poor little kid who was a little, you know, he had the tears streaming down his face. Don't take advantage of a kid like that. Go to somebody like Ashley Judd, because she's the one that I wanted to see.
Exactly.
Now, have you ever heard my Ashley Judd story when I went to interview her when Tubby won the national title?
No.
I covered them in the region finals, and I went up to talk to her. The woman must smoke several packs a day. She just reeked of tobacco. You know, it's not like it's a North Carolina fan where it's Tobacco Road. This was, it was, I have never had the whiff of tobacco so strong coming off her body. You know how it stays in your clothes?
Right.
She must have a lucky Kentucky shirt that she's worn to the same, you know, worn all year and never took it off. Because it just was, I think the woman might hit the heaters a little harder, did at the time. So, hey, I really appreciate you calling. Please continue calling 651-989-9105. Great hearing from you. Thank you. Is he gone?
He's gone, yeah.
Boy, that's a guy that's not big for long goodbyes.
Yeah.
Nice guy. We need to, like I said, we'd like to hear from him again. Now, you're on the same page. I think he's right. It's a hybrid.
Pretty much.
D-bag and dumbass move, both. So we got two of them that were like that.
Yeah. Well, Willie Cauley-Stein was probably expecting just to walk into the locker room and right into the NBA.
It's probably what does he care?
He's done.
Yeah, he figured, why hang around for college? I'm done. Yeah, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
Well, the Twins are going too, right?
Yeah.
Andrew and Aaron are done.
Well, they might.
Towns is done.
Well, Towns is definitely done. I don't know about the Harrison Twins.
You think they'll come? There'll be a junior next year. Juniors next year, right?
I think so.
This was their sophomore year.
Cauley-Stein was a junior, but he's progressed so much that he's going pro this year.
And why shouldn't he?
Yeah. He's really made his mark on the defensive end of the floor. So.
Well, tonight, you know what? And one little sidelight about tonight. Obviously, nothing is bigger for them to play for a national title, but these guys are going to be playing for draft positioning, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jahlil Okafor is going to likely the first overall pick. But when you have guys like Winslow and Tyus Jones that both could come out, and Kaminsky, Decker, these guys could really impact whether or not they go up in people's eyes or not. I think Tyus should be a lottery pick.
And at this point, I think he has improved his stock in the draft this year in the tournament.
He should be one.
He has moved up. Kaminsky has the opportunity to move up. Sam Decker has a really good shot.
So we had a caller. Was it Shane? He didn't think Kaminsky would be. He'd be a low first. I think he's going to be much better than a low first round pick.
I think he's probably going
to get squeezed into the lottery.
10 to 14 range.
Yeah, he'll get in there. That's what I would think.
But
at tonight's game, if he performs well against Okafor, his stock will go up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing. It's not like they have workouts for players like they do in the NFL, you know, like pro day type things. But stock doesn't rise and fall based on a pro day with these basketball players. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, hopefully Jim talked to everybody he needed to from the Twins. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, suhanonfiltered.com. Jim is in Detroit with the Twins, their 4-0 season-opening loss to Detroit. And we'll come right back, and hopefully Jim's up from the locker room or clubhouse, and we'll hear from him. We're back, and we are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, suhanunfiltered.com, where you can find his podcasts. And Jim, thanks so much to the Twins and to you for getting out of the clubhouse, and I'm sure they had plenty to say after that game.
Yes and no. Torrey Hunter was ticked off about that last call. He was very angry about it. As he put it, he prepared to do his job. Joe West didn't prepare to do his. Torrey might get fined, and I think he's okay with that. That was a brutal way to end the game. And otherwise, this is what opening day is if you're a baseball writer. It's like, it's supposed to feel like it's a bigger deal than, and it's really not. It's just one of 162. It wasn't a particularly interesting game. It was a pretty clean game, pretty well played game. And, Joe West deprived us of a chance of seeing Kenneth Vargas with the bases loaded against the struggling Joe Nathan. With fans booing Nathan, that could have been a really interesting ninth inning. And instead, Joe West had, as Torrey said, had dinner reservations. Got out of there.
Well, I love your tweet talking about maybe basically fire everyone or not. No talk of cleaning house after today's loss. I'm not yet anyway.
Well, give them another hour or two to think about it. I'm sure they'll just, bring in 25 new players. It'll be simple.
Now that it's real, how was Molitor after the game? Was he retrospective or, he's not a guy that's going to throw things.
No. And really, managers tend to get frustrated either A, during the dog days, or B, if they lose a crucial game. And this is, ain't exactly the dog days, ain't exactly crucial. He got beat by the other team's, Cy Young candidate, who pitched great. You had two, extra base hits taken away by great fielding plays. It wasn't a bad game. I mean, listen, we've seen the Twins play bad baseball.
Yep.
We know what it looks like. This is not bad baseball. They just got beat. So, no, And the interesting thing for me, you know, somebody looking for something to write, is that Perry of Molitor, St. Paul kid, managing his first game with his hometown team. This is pretty rare stuff and pretty special stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just not the way anybody's looking at it. They're all they cared about was just trying to win the game. Once they lost, they started thinking about what they're going to do on the off day. There was nothing about today that felt momentous, even the part that was, which is Molitor managing his hometown team for the first time.
Well, the good thing is, after that day off, they can come back with Irvin Santana. Oh, wait. Maybe not.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because what a kick in the teeth for this franchise.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I
mean, starting pitching is their primary problem. Starting pitching is the most important aspect of the game. They signed a guy who looked great in his last spring outing. Not that spring means anything, but he did look good in his last spring outing. A guy who you can pencil in for 200 innings, a guy who would protect the bullpen, keep them in games. And I put this on my blog today. Trent should be able to sue him. You know,
You're right.
He's not going to do his job for half a year.
Yeah.
And B, you know, they probably signed him. They probably gave him the $55 million based on results he earned while taking the drug. You know, I mean, it's fraud. It's absolute fraud. It's destructive to a team that I looked at the team as a team that might get over 500 this year with Santana. Now I think you're looking at a mid 70s win team and a last place finish in the Central. It's devastating for this team.
Jim, I mean, is there a good answer to this question? Now, with everything known about, you know, the PEDs and getting, how do you even think you're going to get away with it?
Well, I think
Well, he didn't know, though. He didn't have any idea. That's unbelievable.
What a bunch of crap that is. You know, it's not like he took Ritalin because you have an ADD problem. He took a known fancy drug that works really well that everybody knows about. You know, there's something. I don't know. It seems like a lot of the failed drug tests come from Latin America. I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I might, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a lot of the problems come with Latin American players who do things while they're out of the country and either don't call, you know, they don't think to call the team doctor, or they get mixed up, or they think they can get away with it. But, you know, you have random drug tests. I don't know why he would think he'd get away with it. It's stupid.
Well, and this is not something like, now, a kid takes Sudafed. It's not Sudafed.
Let me amend what I just said. It's either stupid, or more likely, it's very calculated, because what have we seen in Major League Baseball? If you take performance-enhancing drugs, and the performance-enhancing drugs allow you to perform well on the field, you will make tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and then you may serve a suspension, you may get bad PR, and guess what? As soon as your suspension's done, somebody else will pay. I mean, Nelson Cruz's career hasn't exactly, you know. I mean, the problem with performance-enhancing drugs is they work so well. And so the risk of getting caught always ends up being worth it for these guys. Because, you know, what kind of career would Santana, I mean, Santana's a really skinny guy. You know, he doesn't look like an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, if he never takes a performance-enhancing drug, maybe he never makes it to the big leagues. Maybe he's a fifth starter. Maybe he makes a million instead of $100 million in the game. Well, the problem with performance-enhancing drugs is they're worth the risk.
Well, and what happens if he appeals and he winds up in front of the arbitrator that Josh Hamilton had? He may be pitching in a couple of weeks.
I don't think it's going to happen, but you're right. I mean, it's worth the risk for these guys. You know, and think about all the guys. I covered so many guys when I was a Twins beat writer who were, you know, to take the larger view, were really good ball players. And they were stuck in AAA, or they get the cup of coffee in the big league.
Yep.
And they had great skills. They had great knowledge. They had great work ethic. But guess what? They didn't take performance-enhancing drugs, and they got passed by the guys who did.
Yeah, and those guys, like you noted, they made the money.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, look at Brian Robbie. You know, now I believe he's coaching baseball over at Bethel. You know, he performed well at every level of baseball. He took great at bats. He was incredibly, you know, he's a great worker. He's a great teammate. He's a winner. But, you know, he wasn't particularly big and strong. He didn't hit the ball very far. I mean, if he had juiced up his entire career, who knows what he could have done.
Well, like you said, the number of guys who didn't. Now, let me ask you this, a philosophical thing. I personally, I mean, it's wrong because it's illegal. I don't really care what a guy dumps into his system.
That is another thing. Listen, if you can have a testing system
that really keeps the game absolutely clean and creates the proverbial level playing field, great. The problem is we all know that there are guys who took it and didn't get caught. There are guys who are taking it and aren't getting caught. It's a roll of the dice. It's not a clean game. It's a cleaner game. But there are still guys using. There are still guys getting away with it. And that's the problem. Is it really testing and punishment becomes more of a PR thing than anything else, because you're not cleaning up the entire game. You're just making it a little riskier for people to cheat.
And, I mean, this guy's Santana. Maybe you asked before about players that are from, South of our Latin American countries. Maybe they're just not as sophisticated there to get the better masking agents.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Maybe that's the deal. It's because it does seem like more Latin American players get caught than American players, and we all know that American players cheat, too. I asked that philosophical question, way back during the Maguire-Sosa surge. It was great. It was incredible entertainment. The game has never been more entertaining than it was when Sosa and Maguire were going for 70 home runs. So you could make it, if you can stomach it, you could make the argument, let these guys do whatever they want. Just like professional wrestlers, just like NFL players, let them do whatever they want, don't even bother testing, and let them take whatever. If they decide to take the risks to their own bodies that might be inherent in juicing, so be it.
Well, and I think an argument could be made for that. And in the case, the guy of all the guys that that did take PEDs, to me, the guy who's getting screwed the worst is Maguire, because all that stuff was legal when he did it. There was no policy against it, because I still remember the story. I think it was an AP story about him having Andro very visible in his locker, because it was not with an Andro stenodyne or whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't hiding it because it wasn't illegal.
Yeah, and it's such a complex issue. You could go the way we just talked about, which say just, hey, you're athletes, you're trying to achieve as much as you can, do whatever you want, and if everybody's cheating, then really nobody's cheating, or you need to try to do everything you can to clean up the game, which I really think baseball has tried to do in good faith, but it's never going to be 100% effective.
No.
It's just a mess. It's just an absolute mess, but I keep coming back to, as the system currently stands, it's worth it for these guys to take the risk.
Yep. Now, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, look forward to seeing what you write about in the paper, and also suhanunfiltered.com, where you can find his podcast. The latest one by Mike Russo? Did you do a one over the weekend?
No, Russo did one at O'Gara's on Friday, I think, with a Minnesota United player. Should be up on the website. And we're kind of still figuring out what we're going to do tonight. I might do a call-in from Detroit and kind of talk about the opener on
that'd
the
be
podcast.
Fun.
Yeah, but I'll tweet out the info whenever we figure out what we're doing.
All right, and check out also that, Jim, you want to check out Jim on Twitter, and your let's give out your Twitter handle, too.
Suhan Strib, STRIB, like Star Tribune. Suhan Strib, @ Suhan Strib. And also, I'll be, by tomorrow, I'll be talking to you from either in Augusta, Georgia, or on the road to Augusta, Georgia.
Well, what a week you're having. That's a great week.
Yeah, it is.
Get an umbrella, because it's supposed to rain on Friday, I think.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind getting rained on at Augusta National.
Not when it's not almost 90, and it will be. Jim, thanks so much. Jim Suhan, Star Tribune, and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Thanks again. Talk to you tomorrow on your way to Augusta. We will take a quick break. When we're back, we're going to be joined by St. Paul Saints Executive VP Tom Whaley. We talk, we ask him how the Saints are going, but we talk to him about everything, because Tom is a sports guy. He knows a lot of sports, knows a lot of people, knows a lot of things, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk to Tom when we get back.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And we are back. And, this guy's a musician, so we're going to find out what he thinks for his little walk-up. Where's the drum? You have no drumming in here.
Right here.
Okay.
We're waiting for this part.
Okay, okay.
This is the song he wanted.
He's a drum. Oh, it is. His request. Okay. Can't really hear the drums that well in the background there. Yeah, a little snare going. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Tom, you would tell us. Tom Whaley, Saints Executive Vice President, and this is the one you pick, so you're okay with it, obviously.
Wow, I love that, man.
Good.
You can never get enough Keith.
No. Now, let me ask you that. I was telling Hellboy here, David Helmer, over the weekend on HBO, I was going back and forth. I love the ending of Jersey Boys. Have you seen the movie?
No, I don't think. No.
The Frankie Valli movie.
I've seen the play, but I haven't seen the movie. The
movie is phenomenal because from the original play, three of the four guys who were Frankie Valli and two of the four seasons were from the original Broadway play, and the fourth guy was Vincent Piazza, who's been in a number of movies.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Boardwalk, and he played Lucky Luciano in that. I mean, he's a really good actor. And I think the movie, Clint Eastwood directed the movie.
Right. The play freaked me out, man. It's one of those things you go and you sit there, and you don't realize the number of tunes those guys put out.
It's
like
incredible.
Dozens and dozens of them.
Yeah. And the thing, now, I don't know which, you saw the play locally or on Broadway?
I was in New York, luckily, and so I saw it on Broadway.
Now, the guy in the movie who was, again, I don't know if it was the guy you saw was the same one who was in the movie. It's unbelievable how he sounds.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell the difference. I actually went to YouTube to play Frankie Valli and said, oh my God, I can't tell the difference.
No, that's the way it was at the show when we were sitting there. I was sitting there with two other friends and, well, it was actually Vec was one of them and he wanted to go see it and we're sitting there and I'm like, close your eyes for a second. I'm like, my God, the guy's Frankie Valli.
Why don't you bring one of them, maybe the guy who did the movie and the Broadway play, to come in and sing the anthem in that falsetto voice?
That's a great idea. As long as he does more tunes. We can't just bring him.
No, you got to have him do the whole Frankie Valli set. Or bring in Frankie Valli. He's still in his 80s and singing. Why mess? You know what? You can have them do a duet of the national anthem and then sing Sherry or something. You know, one of these songs. I just think in the end, now when you see the movie, and you got to see it, the end is a great musical dance number with everybody who was in the movie, and it's phenomenal. I mean, Eastwood did a great job with it. It is one you'd absolutely love.
You don't necessarily associate Clint with a musical.
No, but he did a great job with it, Tom. I'm telling you. And we are talking to Tom Whaley, the St. Paul Saints executive VP, a man of varied interests. He's a drummer himself in a band, and he's obviously executive VP of the Saints. Anything new? Has the pig been born yet? That's a key question.
No,
still not
checked.
Yet.
I checked. I don't know what the heck's going on. We got to get cracking here though, because we got the week before the game. No, the day before the game starts, we debut him with his name and stuff. So we'll we got to get crazy. He's not been born though.
Now the Twins open today in Detroit. Which, did you watch the game?
No, I didn't watch it, but I was kind of staying up with it on my phone, so I got that MLB thing on the phone.
We just had Jim Suhan on, and Hellboy and I were on the air, so we didn't see what Torrey Hunter got so pissed off about at the ump, because we were on the air. He got really upset about the, you know, because he struck out. Clearly, he wasn't agreeing with the umpire's call.
I think the umpires, I mean, some of them need more spring training, too. Last night, the guy behind home plate was... It was a little strange at times, so we'll give them a few games to get in shape.
Now, for you guys, Tom, how close or how much more finagling will you do to your roster? And I'm talking about not just bringing guys in, but the key members of your team. Are you pretty much set?
No, I mean that was the thing, and I was just talking with Sean about our media relations director who stays up on those things. We were talking this morning, and Sean said we still have some. We have a lot of room left, so we'll have some news out this week. He said we got some guys that are about to sign. We signed last week.
Kwasnicka, right?
Yeah, which would be really cool. I mean, it was kind of a drag. We picked up one, but we lost Ian Gack, who was one of the leading power hitters in the league. He got a nice gig down in Veracruz, Mexico. So good for him, and he's off there. But we barely knew ye.
Yeah. Well, and Mike Kwasnicka was a former Gopher and 33rd overall pick.
Yeah. No, he drafted by Houston and made his highest Double A with the Twins, and he's local, and that's always fun for us. I mean, I love that we've got local guys, and from what I understand, you know, he doesn't want to be around long, and those are the guys we want. So
now, last year, superstar Mike Morris and I, when we were doing the show together, we had Ole on your. Is he coming back, your hitting coach? I love that guy.
So I think I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Ole's great, man. I mean, he's a real steady influence on the guys, and you know, he was over our history one of our best hitters. So it's he just has a sharp guy, you know, and a good hitting instructor. So I love Ole.
Now, how about tonight? Who are you going with? You going with Wisconsin or Duke?
Wisconsin just freaks me out. I mean, I would be I would be concerned if I were Duke, because they have guys. It's just they make the other team play their game. I mean, they made Kentucky play their game, which as good as Kentucky was. What a game, though.
And, it was a hell of a game.
I got to go with Wisconsin. I mean, as much as it pains me, but man, they're good.
I've said this a few times, but it's so funny. A friend of mine was her father-in-law has had season tickets to go for games, events, basketball, football, and I know you might go to hockey too. We're talking decades of it, like 3-4 decades back to the 40s or 50s. Asked if he would pull for Wisconsin, Big Ten team. His comment, Wisconsin was playing the Nazis, I'd pick the Nazis. Because he's too much of a Gopher fan.
Wow.
He can't do it. So,
tough crowd.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you know what? I love these Monday segments with you. Thank you for taking the time with us. Tom Whaley, the St. Paul Saints Executive VP. We'll be talking to him every Monday. And as the Saints gets closer, certainly we'll talk Saints, but we'll touch on a little bit of everything. The segment just flies. Thank you.
Okay, you bet, man.
All right, take care, Tom.
Okay, we'll see you.
Take care. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson, they're up next. I guess they'll be talking a little bit of NCAA, too, a little bit of Twins. Stick with them. We'll be back. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. Thanks for sticking with us. And congratulations to Katie, who won those Twins tickets. She did the best job. Got into round two spelling Twins names. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.
Or disappear into the putter's ground.